Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. I was going to have Sherry Smith, who has a variety of names, on while she had a show up. But now that she doesn't have a show up, we don't have to artfully promote that. We can simply talk about your artwork, which is among the most stunning artwork focused almost exclusively on jazz and jazz performers. When I put up on Facebook, I'm inept at doing that, but when I put up on Facebook that you were going to be on, I'm getting all these lovely notes from people who have been on this show before, like Judy Roberts and her husband Greg Fishman and Jody Falbo. They love you.
Well, it's lovely to hear.
You must know that, though.
Well, yeah, I know Judy. I'm doing a portrait of Judy Roberts right now. Someone who came to the show did not like the one that I had. It had a cartoon element to it.
Yeah.
And they want one of her, so they're coming over Thursday. So I am now going through, rifling through my hundreds and thousands of drawings to find one that I think she will like and see what size she needs and blow it up. So Judy Roberts, back in with Judy Roberts.
When I had a morning show, Judy Roberts, who I've known since I think we were about 7 years old, refused, the only person who ever refused to come on the show because it was on too early.
Because it was on too early?
Yeah.
Well,
it was 6:30. Yeah, if it was on now, she'd be all over the place here. You finally, Sherry, have a website.
Hail Mary, and
how
I have
did
an
that
intern.
Happen?
I have an intern. I want to thank Elena over at the Ukrainian Museum for finally
That's
getting
a nice
me in.
Place.
Yes, it is.
Talk about that place for a second. That's a really under. Nobody knows where
no,
it is.
Okay, so the Ukrainian Museum, you might think it has teacups in it, but it is actually.
Or those little dolls.
Dolls. It's avant garde, it's socialist,
yeah.
And it's a very interesting, deep, well thought out museum that I would kill to be in because they work hard. Their groupings of people together are very, very interesting. And so I'm supposed to go over there now. They have a show on graphic design that I'm dying to see, European graphic design. But they have.
We'll keep promoting it and they'll eventually give you a show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I want to be
how
there.
That works.
No, I think they had one, that guy from Playboy, Art Paul. Art Paul.
They had a magnificent show of Art Paul up there. Listen, tell me I'm wrong, but your mom, you had some other relatives who were working professional artists, who obviously an aunt or a great aunt.
My great aunt was the spiritual muse of our family. Her name was Teddy. She died young, and she was a sculpture teacher at the School of the Art Institute, which is my alma mater. And my mother was a wonderful artist, which my father didn't seem to remember until she had passed. So art is in my family. It's deeply in my family. I have an aunt who lived in the Frank Lloyd Wright house. They bought the Ward Willett house in Winnetka, and she was an artist, the Hyde Park artists of the family, which we'll put in quotes. So,
why? Gertrude Abercrombie was from Hyde Park.
Oh, well, Gertrude Abercrombie was, but this is my family. Hyde Park, I love.
Okay.
The family, they're a little.
Oh, you put the family in
the family. No, Hyde Park is great. Okay. I know my way around Hyde Park.
So you're drawn to art early.
I was drawn to.
It's a tough. Being an artist is not. I know it is something. It's like theater folk that. Something one has to do and something is absolutely drawn to.
There's no option. There's no option.
But it is not always easy, is it?
No. I had to divorce an artist. I married an artist.
Now, that is a dumb idea.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? But he was the vice president of an ad agency at the time.
Oh, he had a real job.
He had a real job, but the itch in his arm to be the artist, it was like the needle in his arm, overtook everything. So he, till 10 o'clock at night, after work, would go to his studio at the Contemporary Art Workshop with
Jack Carney,
and so he was there all the time, and he spent his money on records, food, and fine art. And finally,
you said, "Get away!"
Yeah, I said, "What am I doing? I need to be out of this." So I did everything I could, divorced him, bought him out of the condo, bought back the condo. Got a teaching job. I taught for 20 years.
I know, in the public school system.
Yes, and it
where
is.
Where did you, I'm curious, where did you teach?
My first job was at Disney Magnet, which was down on Irving.
Sure, I know.
And we're on Lakeshore Drive. And my second one was all Polish, and that was around Belmont and Central. And that was an inclusive school, buzzword inclusive. because of Corey H. Law 142, where everybody had to get into inclusion or the board would be sued for everything they had. So I taught 1,200 students a week.
Oh, my God.
And my last class on a Friday were 50 eighth graders. And I'm Jewish, so I anointed myself with spikenard oil and prayed. It was a whole Hail Mary. So I survived that. And then I got into Cabrini.
What school?
George Muneer Elementary School.
Sure.
And I loved my kids. The first year I had bronchitis for the first year, but I shook every kid's hand.
For a year.
Because I shook every kid's hand and, you know, with their hands, you know, whatever, little kids. And I taught pre-K through eight. And my last year was made totally difficult by my principal because my partner was bipolar and my father was dying and she didn't make it possible for me in any way to address it. So sometimes the light bulb goes off and I just left. And she said, oh, you can't do that. So I called downtown. I said, she's making this difficult for me. Make it happen. My father was my business mentor. He told me the magic words. They were, make me happy.
And so, that works.
It works.
Maybe I can try that at the Tribune. Let me ask you about public school, because in the last 20 or 30 years, to my mind, art and music and theater have been systematically pulled.
Not only have they been pulled, but they have been dismissed as not valuable.
Exactly.
And unless you say you're integrating art and music and whatever into the curriculum somehow, you're considered a prep, which is a break. So every time I would get my schedule, I would always look, okay, when do I get my break? Mm. You know, it's a hot potato being in the Chicago public school system. And people who handle that are undervalued.
Oh, no question.
So the kids would get dropped off to me. And I'm going to come out on record saying this, Chicago public schools. I hired my own assistant.
I'm sure you did.
For 4 or 5 years.
I'm sure you did.
And I could not have retired, couldn't have gotten a pension, couldn't have made my way through to have 34 kids come in 30 seconds, sit down and do a project, leave, and have somebody else come in.
Before we get to your work, which I want to do and devote the second half of the segment to it, I want you to address for me the fact, in being in the public school system for as long as you were and hiring your own assistant, you know full well and on an intimate level what teachers do sacrifice. I've known teachers who have to buy their own crayons, who buy their own books. There are no libraries in schools.
Basically, you sacrifice yourself.
Yep.
And that is the most salient factor. Because when I finally retired, I took a 7-year mental nap, even though I kept drawing, and then I woke up full speed ahead. But I see these teachers. I came in during the summer just to drop something off and say hi to people. I have never seen a more bedraggled-looking group of people in my life. You have to play both ends off the middle. You have to meet these test requirements, which you are not going to do. You have to follow a curriculum, which you don't want to do. And if you happen to be in a school that is archaic, which so many of them are, you know, you meet a teacher who's in a place that's not archaic, and you're salivating like Pavlov's dog. Get me in.
Yeah.
No, it's not good. I sent my son to Anshiamet.
Good for you.
He got into Disney Magnet.
Okay.
And I was a substitute teacher in a cadre there.
There's a reason Rahm Emanuel sent his kids to lab school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's the guy in charge of school. So,
listeners, let me just say this to you. If you have kids and you have the dough, not to say that there aren't wonderful schools, you don't want your child to be in a classroom with more than 10 people.
It is sad. Heartbreaking. All right. Then we're going to talk about your jazz and what drew you to jazz. I got to read a commercial.
Okay.
Because that's why people listen, I think, or so they tell me. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics by following the most comprehensive... No. You influence politics by voting. And then after you voted, you can follow the most comprehensive local political news online at chicagotribune.com/midterms. We'll be right back with Sherry Smith. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. We're just talking about our mutual friend, Sherry Smith, and I are. Her work is still up at a gallery, the Ken Hertie Gallery.
Correct.
At 760 North Milwaukee Avenue, right next to the Intuit space on Milwaukee Avenue. It'll be up for about another 2 weeks, but also, she finally has a website.
This is true.
Sherry Smith Art, S-H-E-R-I, Smith Art. I'm not going to insult you by spelling those for
you. Thank you.
.com. You think everything would be taken from the walls in the show by now?
Well,
huh?
Would that it were, but I think the most important thing was for me to spend all the 6 months it took for me to create the show after the 17 years of drawing and to actually see it up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand my self-worth after spending 20 years in the Chicago public school system and divorcing an artist.
Sure.
Artist ad man. When I first started drawing at the Green Mill, it was Kurt Elling was the first person I drew.
Sure.
I said to myself, with catastrophic expectations sub rosa, I said, what's the worst thing that can happen is that you won't like the drawing.
Right.
So I just kept drawing and drawing and drawing, and like the Energizer Bunny, I just kept doing it. And then...
Well, did you like the drawing?
Yes,
okay.
I did. And looking back, when I looked through what I was going to have in the show, which I kept for people in their 50s to 90s, I only wanted stalwarts or people who were deceased that I had drawn. I saw my early drawings, and they were good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think every artist has their qualms about the caliber of their work. So I draw on a suede board with a special crayon right now, which turns into a G clay print, or I keep the original.
Sure.
But to sit there with a drawing, you know, you look at it and you say, is there verisimilitude? Is this true? Is this right? Have I failed? And I would say in about 60% of the work, I feel is, I won't say a failure, but let's say it's close. But still, 40% of the work just knocks me on my ass, and I am thrilled.
Does it knock the performers on their asses, too?
Well, they are very gracious, and I feel like what I'm doing is... Yes, it does. It does.
Cause yeah,
I only have 30 seconds or a minute to get up there to get a signature, and all the work is signed. All the work is signed.
By the performers.
By the performers.
And by you.
And by me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I write little verbiage, like... When the Preservation Hall Jazz Band were playing, and they're my favorite group of Menshedik people, they're all Menshes, I wrote, ain't that something big, because they knocked me out, and I wanted that feeling to come through. If I'm drawing a drummer, and there's a shorthand, and I want to say, this is exciting, I'll put accent marks all across their head like a halo,
yeah,
so people can know and can feel it.
I love your work. I mean, what I have seen of your work, I love your work. I need to ask you what it is about having spent most of my, certainly adult life, in jazz clubs. I'm not a visual artist, but I need to know from you, Sherry Smith, what is it about jazz in particular that draws you artistically? It's not rock and roll.
No.
I understand that. It's not blues. I understand that, though it could be a little bit. It's not cabaret. What is it about jazz?
It's the beat, it's the music, and it's the performers. And when I hear that first sound, particularly in a jazz big band, that will slay me any time. But when they get going and I'm focused, I can't say why, but I know that it's almost like automatic writing. Something comes through my hand, my heart, my mind, the crayon, the choices. And my partner, Fred Young, noticed that because he bought a drawing of mine. I was drawing Eric Schneider over at the Jazz Showcase.
God, good old Eric.
Yeah, yeah, good old Eric. It's 6 degrees of Eric.
Yeah.
So Fred wanted this piece of mine, and I said, don't you want to print? He said, no, you put your heart and soul into every line of that. So I can't tell that's happening, but it is. I am taken over.
You must feel something, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I feel totally electric.
Yeah.
I am electrified, and I have no choice but to sit in a confined space in the dark and make marks from what I'm hearing. And obviously, if it's a drummer doing a solo, it's one thing. Or if it's Nicole Mitchell, who's on a flute,
right,
it's another thing. So sometimes it's sensitive, and sometimes it's raucous. And I will take my crayon, and I will just shake my hand back and forth to convey the excitement.
See, that's what I think. There's some, you know, and to me, all visual art is mysterious on some level, but it's a visceral, an absolute visceral
thing.
It
is absolutely visceral, and I am completely and utterly drained when I am done. I don't drink and draw, but when I'm done, I want to eat.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And I just, these people who are giving it their all knock me out. And also, I have a very deep love of history. And I really feel that this is a historical record, what I'm doing. I'm watching I, Katharina right now, so I'm going to go back to that.
Sure.
But I would really like some of the larger pieces to go to the Chicago History Museum as a donation to them. I'd like to see them up there.
That's a great idea.
But I would like to see this work be seen. And I think that's more important to me than selling. I want the work to be out there and visually appreciated.
That's a wonderfully altruistic way to feel. You, in starting a website, I sort of understand the point of that. But what compelled you to do that? Was it people like me saying, hey, I need to...
Yeah. I'm tech challenged because I have a dyslexia with operations, and I never even entered my own grades. I'd palm that off on other people. But once I got using my iPad and I started to get addicted as like a second skin to the iPhone, the iPad, and then I kept seeing the websites, and I didn't know how they happened, but I hired an intern, and she was so adept, like the younger generation is. She's just clicking away with her fingers. She's going, oh, yes, blah, 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 blah. And here I have this marvelous, gorgeous representation of who I am, and I'm on Absolute Arts now, where it has 40 or 50 of my works. You just type in Absolute Arts search engine and put the name Sherry Smith in, and there I am. So having woke up from the past...
That's 7 years.
From pay phones and taking the L and whatever we used to do, now I'm in a different world. And I'm glad I am.
Why?
Because I've got a lot of life. There's a lot of life left in the old girl.
No, of course,
there's
no
option.
Yeah.
There's no option. You're either in it or you're not in it.
Sure. And you want, I mean, there's no art, you know, otherwise you'd be wallpapering your house with your stuff.
Well, when you come over to the Smith at Home Gallery, you'll see what it was.
You allow people to come in and see your stuff there now that you have a website, now that you're a modern, totally modern woman.
I'm a modern woman. You can get on my webpage.
And make an appointment.
And make an appointment and come and see, because I represent a lot of other artists I've collected, and I started collecting at 10. I bought something for $30 or 10. It's now worth $1,000. They talk about champagne taste on a beer budget.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have always managed to amass the collection that I have. I have Ansel Adams outsized collage type. I have Seymour Rosofsky. I just sold.
I like Seymour Rosofsky.
Yeah, I do too. I found a piece in Hyde Park in a basement for $2.
$2?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
That's my price.
Sherry, it is great to see you. I'm going to write about you too.
I'm thrilled.
It is great to see you. And Barb, you're here. And another friend is here too.
Fred Young, Barb Bailey. Love them both.
Love you. You are one of a kind.
And I'm so glad you.
Well, I'm glad we finally did this.
Yeah,
and
so
again, you can go into the Ken Hertie Gallery at 760 North Milwaukee Avenue to see Sherry Smith's stuff for the next couple of weeks, or, because it's really lousy out, and thanks for coming in on a night like this, go to Sherry Smith Art, Sherry Smith Art.com, and I will see you soon because I'm writing about you.
I love it.
I love it too, dear. We'll be right back.